You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Okay, and we're going to read today in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 9 through 12. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil, all the days of her life. And Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, good morning. Hey, it's a real blessing to be to fill in for Derek here, and to have, of course, Mother's Day, and to have the privilege of dealing with that. And so happy Mother's Day to you mothers, and to you godly women that aren't mothers, happy day to you also. Because it's all the same. It's what it's all about is God in our lives. That's what it's all about. Let's go ahead and open with prayer. Father, we are thankful, Lord, that for this beautiful day you've given us, and the fact that the privilege of being here to fellowship around your word. Father, we're thankful for the family of you've given that to us. Father, we are thankful for our mothers, whether they be living or gone on, Lord. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the memories that we cherish as adults of our childhood, the wonderful experiences that you gave us. Lord, we're needy people here this morning. We do pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way, that to take the things of Christ and make them very real to us, and give us a blessing. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 31, such a chapter to remember, so important, so valuable, so rich. And looking at verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For a price is far above rubies. That doesn't mean there aren't many of them, but it says who can find them? And the young men pay attention there. For sure, I'd say a virtuous woman is something to very well be noted. You know, many stories in the Old Testament, I think you have the Hannah and such as that. Why do you think she was noticed? It was the virtue, it sure was, that she was noticed, and it stands out. It's priceless. That's what it means there. Her price is far above rubies. Can't be purchased. And the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, if you can't have your guard down at home, where can you have it down? You know, the men go out and slugging it out, you know, trying to make it this and that. When you come home, such a blessing that you can trust in the virtuous woman. 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's fulfilled as his helpmate. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And you know, this shows, I think, that her attitude is one that is, you know, doing it as unto the Lord, but working very willingly. 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Tell you, that speaks of being very, very industrious with whatever it takes, to me. And in those days, you know, it wasn't like you have Sam's or Walmart or the food. You just go down, you know, and get whatever you want. What did the merchant ships do? They brought, you know, different things. Very industrious there. 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household. Early to rise reminds me of my step-grandmother. Whenever I'd go visit them, first thing you'd hear in the morning, if you heard it, if you weren't sleeping too soundly, is a little bit of rattling around the kitchen. But every morning, made biscuits for my granddad. from scratch. And it took her about a minute and a half, I swear. And Janice watched her do it, and my mom watched her do it, and never measured anything out. You know, that's it. Biscuits are ready. And every morning, my granddad, and now you, keep in mind, you got to watch your bacon, because he'd have it like every morning. He only lived to be 96. So watch your bacon. Every morning. It was a hoot. Had his coffee, also. Take his coffee, pour it in a saucer, cool it off. Y'all ever seen him do that? People do that? And drink out of a saucer? I tell you, a lot of memories I have of that. Never a TV in their home. Worldly standards, by worldly standards, poor. By God's standards, rich. Very interesting. When my father's mother passed away at childbirth when he was 4, and my granddad remarried the local school teacher and moved within a year, moved to Missouri, southeast Missouri, to the Boot Hill area, 10 miles east of Poplar Bluff, 10 miles south of Fisk on the river. And it's very interesting that they were only married 60-some years. She was Church of Christ. He was Baptist. He'd drop her off to church and go to church. The organ was in the upstairs. I'll tell you some interesting things, but no one ever doubted that both of them loved the Lord. Get the news off Paul Harvey. Didn't have electricity until all the children were gone. The second family, my father had one brother, and they had 8 children. My step-grandmother did. Very interesting. In later years, what amazed me about it, I don't know how many grandchildren she had, and great-grandchildren and all that, but she could tell you names and dates of birth of each when she's in her 80s. Which, I mean, talk about the example there. And you all here, we have mothers, grandmothers here, it's the same thing. But I just reminisce because this is the personal thing for me, how God touched my life through her. My maternal grandmother, it's so interesting. She lived here in Oklahoma City. My maternal grandmother owned a grocery store here on Northeast 23rd. In 1925, Northeast 23rd, their address was the same year that their house was constructed there on Northeast 23rd near Eastern. She owned a grocery store. And she passed away when I was probably 5 or 6. But yet I have a memory. And memory is just a faint memory. But still, the love touched me there. So anyway, I know each one of us as adults, we have those memories maybe of if you were blessed to have to remember your grandmother or grandparent there, and treasure those memories and think about those. And maybe after a while, if we have enough time, after I get finished with some of this review, we might have time to share just a special moment that maybe comes to your mind about that. About my childhood, what comes to my mind, as far as my mother, a lot of things, but making cookies. She always used to let me to help, and I got to eat the dough before it was cooked. Now, that's what comes to mind, you know, that love. I'm sure you all have those memories too. But riseth early, verse 15. When it is yet night. I don't know how the women, how you women have the stamina to do what you do. And giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. It's very interesting there. She buyeth it. Scripture does not rob. I mean, it's real clear that there's commerce here, and there's decisions here. Too many times in the society and culture in which we live, they say the homemaker doesn't do anything. You know, you're not a career woman. Malarkey. A mother is a career woman in every sense of the word to operate the household, especially in this time. There's no question about that. Any of those that have been blessed with skills that do produce in the workforce, you know, praise God for those too. It's not doubting that, but it's the whole thing. It's incredible, isn't it? She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Obviously, we're not talking about physical strength here. I think what you're looking at in verse 17 probably is the strength as far as the strength of resolution to getting something done. The strength, it's a boldness or a courage of the industriousness in getting accomplished, taking care of her household like she would. I think that's the strength it's talking about. And strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Incredible, isn't it? I think of a modern-day coupon person, too, getting the best buy for the money. Right? You ladies that do that, always concerned about getting the best buy. Look at those thumbs up from you. That's true. You know, it's a stewardship, taking care of those things. I also think about you young mothers, maybe as, you know, you get the kids down, now you can get done what you really want to get done, right? So the kids are down, here's what I got to get done. Well, that's what it means. I think the candle goeth out not by night. Because that's when the women really get the things accomplished that you want to get accomplished, you women. I think that's what speaks of. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. Speaking of clothing and well-being. Of course, being a mother, as you all know, is truly a 24-hour job. Not only does she take care, of course, all the meals and all such as that, but also the other primary necessities of life. And let's turn to 1 Timothy, because I think it's not just redundant. It's very interesting how Paul puts it, too. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, we'll start reading verse 5. 1 Timothy 6, 5. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I want to stress this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, there's our birth, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Like I remember I've heard said, you don't see many Brinks trucks at funerals. They're not there. Here's the point I want to make that ties into Proverbs 31. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Who takes care of the food and raiment? According to Proverbs 31, it's a virtuous woman. That's where our contentment needs to be. Being content on those things as far as with godliness. Otherwise, we know we're in the world, but our affections need to be on the things above, the godly things that really are eternal. Sure, we have to make a living. Sure, it's nice to have a vehicle and get around. Sure, it's nice to have a nice home and all these other things. But we have to be settled in on that contentment of food and raiment, really. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There's where the worldly riches will take you. For the love of money is a root of evil. Now, money's not evil. It's the love of it that can drive men to do incredibly poor decisions, make poor decisions in that drive. For they have erred and from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Had it not been for godly women, this country would have never come into existence. Because this country's greatness is based on the Word of God, and those godly mothers and grandmothers raised men to take a stand, to do the right thing at an incredible time in history when our country was founded. It's that simple. Likewise, in our modern culture, with the attack on the family, with the attack on motherhood, if you will, it's a long shot to say that this country will survive unless we really stay with the book. I think you all will agree on that. I had this really come to mind last week as I was knocking doors in my effort in Edmond. Met a lady, very nice. She had a cross on her blouse there, and I commented about it. "You're Christian?" She said, "Yes." She said she was the head of a daycare center of a church here in North Oklahoma City. The daycare, I think, starts accepting the children at age one, something like that. And she said most of her clientele was professional, which she spoke of, obviously, man and mother and father for the children she's keeping. And then she went on to state that she was so glad that the parents were asking her where the children should be sent to school. She says, "I'm so glad that more of them are looking toward public school now." And I'm thinking, okay, here's a lady runs a Christian care center at a church, and she's taking the children ages 2 to 5, basically. And I'm thinking, okay, when does the child see the mother? And they say that the most formative years are obviously the first 7. But the first 3 years are incredibly, incredibly important. And I thought of that this last week, and as far as Mother's Day coming up, how important it is. As far as the mothers in the home, or however, working it out to raise their child and to mold them as she would have them and as the Lord would have them. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. Okay, so in 18 you have "her candle goeth not out by night, she layeth hands to the spindle," 19, "her hands hold the distaff," 20, "she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." So it's not only her household that's being very cognizant of others. She's very productive in good works of compassion. Now, I think in today, in our country, that we're so materialistic, don't think of the poor as having a lack of financial resources. Think of it another way. Many times today, the poor are poor in lack, they're poor in understanding of things. So think of that. I mean, you have a lot of material wealth, and if you don't understand some very basic things as far as parenting, so here I'm talking about the virtuous woman reaching out to others that really don't understand maybe how to raise children or how to do things like that. You know, we used to talk about common sense, or maybe we still do. Believe me, it's not all so common anymore. Things that you think would be of common sense, it's not that common, so I guess we ought to quit calling it common sense. Isn't that right? And it could be that a person's very needy for the wisdom of, for the godly wisdom. So let's keep that in mind. Verse 21, "she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." Of course, scarlet speaks of a color that speaks out, doesn't it? Very beautiful color. They're taken care of. Verse 22, "her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." Now, the gates are referred to here as a place of judgment. The say when they have matters of the community, that would be where the elders would gather near the gate. Where they come in the city, that's called the gates. It's a place of judgment, place of discernment of the elders. That's what it was. So he's a man of authority. 24, she maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. To me, that's very interesting here because, as I mentioned before, she's a businesswoman that produces a product. But now think about this. She's a wholesaler. What does a merchant do? He retails. One of the most demanding businesses, and I've worked around people, is the retail business. If you're in a retail business, you have to be there, so many hours and take care of so much. And when the customers aren't there, you're taking care of your inventory, you're securing your inventory, you make sure somebody doesn't steal your inventory or it doesn't get blown away in a tornado, right? But here, this lady, the virtuous woman, is what? She's a wholesaler. Doesn't have to worry about that retail stuff. That's what it points to. And, you know, because what she's doing is taking care of the family. 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. To me, the strength here is something that shows forth a security or validates her position of justness there. It's the quality of uniting, if you will, concerning the family and such as that, uniting. She knows what's going on in the family. 26, you open her mouth with wisdom. You don't find gossip here. It says she, wisdom, godly wisdom. What you find is sound judgment and always kind. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. In this day, I tell you, soap operas would have a hard time selling their advertising, wouldn't they? As far as to the virtuous women. They don't have time for it. 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Show me man that criticizes his wife before others, and I'll show you a fool. That's a fact. Praise is in strong order for women of Proverbs 31 nature. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I tell you, and from a man's perspective, a godly, virtuous woman is known of by other men. If you have a friend or you're working with him, you know when a man's wife supports him in shows such as that. I'd like to read just a note here that I think kind of gives us a little insight on the verses in Timothy we dealt with. And I'll just read this. This is out of a book that Elizabeth Elliot wrote. Elizabeth Elliot is a very godly lady, as many of you know. The Apostle Paul used a curious expression in his first letter to Timothy. A woman is saved through motherhood if she continues in faith, love, and holiness with a sober mind. Says there are many interpretations of these words, but she says, I believe it means at least this much, that she be kept in the path of safety, not by taking the offices of men, but by performing the functions assigned by the Lord, provided she continues in faith, love, holiness, with a sober mind. And is there anything which can sober a woman's mind more effectively than motherhood? Some are never gifted, are granted the gift of motherhood. Some refuse it. To those to whom it is granted, humble obedience to its demands is their very salvation, the way to joy and peace. A mother cannot save herself, like Jesus who refused to come down from the cross. She cannot save herself because she is saving others, giving her lifeblood for them. Like him, she can save herself only by losing herself. Whosoever loses his life for my sake will find his true self. Those to whom the privilege of childbearing is not given are saved by accepting the will of God in this as in all else, and by carrying out the work he does assign. In a story here, a talented woman was asked by a friend, "Why have you never written a book?" "I'm writing too," was the quiet reply. "I have been engaged on one for 10 years and the other 5. "You surprised me," the friend said. "What profound works they must be." "It doth not yet appear what they shall be," said the woman. "But when he makes up his jewels, my great ambition is to find them there." "Your children?" "Yes, my 2 children. They are my life's work." And so for mother, we 6 were her life's work. This is Elizabeth Elliot. We ask for no other. She asked for no other. Very interesting, isn't it? And then I thought we'd take just a moment to look at maybe what a grandmother is from the eyes of a third grader. And this little note was written by a third grader about grandma. And it's interesting that Janice was keeping Julianne and Mary Kate this week, a couple days ago, and she had some one-on-one with Juliana. And Juliana looked at that, at Janice, and said, "Are you a mother?" And that's interesting. From the eyes of a 4-year-old, "Are you a mother?" And this is the eyes of a third grader. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with boys, and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except to be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have a lot of dimes ready. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down and pass things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They should never say, "Hurry up." Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums off. Remember, this is third grader. Grandmothers don't have to be smart. Only answer questions like, "Why isn't God married?" and "How come dogs chase cats?" Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do, because it is hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind it if it's the same story over and over. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they're the only grown-ups who have time. Isn't that interesting? The only grown-ups who have time. I encourage all of us, as parents and grandparents, to take that in heart. In our modern culture, once again, the stress we have in dealing with different situations, but another way to spell love, of course, is T-I-M-E, and that's just the way it is. But it is so important. We were blessed within the last week or so, some of you know that Melissa is an expectant mother. And Richard, we got that news. That was a nice kind of Mother's Day week kind of deal. That was a blessing. So she's expecting another child. Looking forward to that. Special blessing for us. We men, of course, need to stress more frequently, and we children need to tell our mothers, obviously, more often that we do love them and appreciate all the work that they do, tirelessly, it seems, and especially we children. Thank your moms and your grandmoms. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are especially thankful, Lord, for these nuggets out of the book of Proverbs. And we pray, Lord, that we know in our fleshly way of presenting them we're very needful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take the truths and make them acceptable unto each heart, and that we would apply it there, Lord. And we know that your word does not return unto you void. We pray that it will accomplish its purpose. Lord, we pray that this day would be a very good day, that day to follow in special family times, that Christ would be glorified and the family strengthened. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.